Hello, everyone. So today I'll be presenting the work Bunching, which on compositing security mechanisms through diversification. So this is a work jointly with my colleague Kangji Lu and Professor Tae-Soo Kim and Wen-Kei Lee. So we all know that memory corruption attacks are very costly. For example, we have the famous Heartbleed, which is going to cost like millions of dollars to fix. We also have like traditionally not in the radar of the attackers, for example, like the HP printer. You can now launch memory corruption attacks against it to steal anything you want, print it on the printer. And also in the cyber physical system, in the auto driving system. So in the CarPlay system, you have this format stream vulnerabilities until now. So you name your device like this and connect to the Bluetooth, and you can steal some info from the memory. So given the seriousness of this memory safety, memory attacks, though there is a battle against the memory errors. So some existing security mechanisms deploy, such as data execution prevention, ASR or CFI. So they are not very hard to bypass. So people come up with a new kind of protection. They call it like sanity checks. So the good thing about the sanity checks is that they can do this during the compilation time, and it's automatically applied given the set of rules. For example, there's a sanitizer which try to check all the accesses of the memories. For example, if you try to dereference a memory A, so you will have this. After the sanitization, you will first check whether this A is in a valid address, and then you do the accesses. This is how the sanity checks work, and you can imagine there are tons of this kind of sanity checks scattered all over the program. So, and basically for each type of the memory errors, like out-of-bound read-write, user-free or uninitialized read, or even some undefined behaviors, there are defenses that following this sanitizer-style mechanisms. So the next thing we can think about is like, okay, good, we have all those mechanisms. Now we can have like fully secured, fully protected program. But this is not a reality now. For example, there are two reasons for that. The first reason is that the execution slowdowns almost accumulated like exponentially. For example, if you apply CETS and softbound, you get 100%, 110% slowdown. And also, it's not that simple. You can simply fuse all these mechanisms and apply into one. So for example, the address sanitizer and the memory sanitizer, they just don't work together. You cannot just simply enable them both on the same program, because there are some implementation conflicts up behind that. So what we can do and what we propose is that we can use bunching. We can reduce the execution slowdown, for example, in the first example, from 110% to 60 or 40%, depends on how many so-called variants you want to produce. And also, we can seamlessly enforce all these sanitizers without doing any re-engineering effort to these sanitizers. So how do we do this? We do this, the high-level idea is that we do this in the N version way. So for example, like in the traditional program, you have the input, you give the input to the program, and it produces an output for you. So the N version way works like this. So still you have the same input, but you duplicate the input. You have multiple variants in the system, and you send the input to each of them. And then you compare the execution traces and output of each of the variants, and you get the output. So if, say, this is a benign input, all the variants should give you the same results. After your comparison, they're all the same, so you output it. But if there is a malicious input comes in, so at least one of the variants will give you a different output from the other, maybe because it's compromised or maybe because of anything. So if you see this divergence in the behaviors, you think this is an attack. So this is the high-level idea of the N version system. So the logic behind is that the attacker has to simultaneously compromise all the variants in order to compromise the whole system. So, and there are some similar ideas that follows along this line of research, trying to use N version system to increase the security. For example, there are N version system, you place the version, the variants into different memory locations. You have the different stack growth directions. You have like different heap object allocation algorithms, and you have, or you just simply run the different versions of the program. So what we do is similar to the work. So our goal is to reduce the execution slowdown caused by these security mechanisms and also enable different or even conflicting mechanisms. But although the idea sounds very intuitive, there's a lot of challenges or like questions we need to address in branching, for example, how to generate these variants, so what properties they should have, how to make them appear as a single instance to the outsiders, and what kind of behavior you're talking about, and how is the divergence. So what if the sanitizer introduced new behaviors, and what if how to support multi-threaded programs? So these are the challenges that will be addressed. So first thing, like how do you generate these variants? So there are some intuitions behind. So for example, when you look at the program, you know like what kind of memory safety mechanism you want to enforce. So this goes to the scope of the protection required. And then based on the scope, you will choose the sanitizers accordingly. For example, if you want to enable all this, you have comprehensive memory protection, you want to enable all the sanitizers, then those are the sanitizers you will choose. And also, for each sanitizer, you will see that there are tons of like thousands or millions of instrumentations scattered across the program. So which gives us two intuitions. Why not we distribute the sanitizer into different variants, or per each sanitizer, we distributed the internal instrumentations to different variants. So this gives us the check distribution and sanitizer distribution. So for check distribution, it's like per each sanitizer, the original way is that you instrument the whole programs into by this sanitizer. But for check distribution, you can just distribute the checks through, say, three variants. So for the first variant, you only have a portion of the program instrumented, the second, another portion, and third, another portion. So, but if you combine them together, it still sees that the whole program is instrumented. And for sanitizer distribution, it's similar. So say you want to enforce address, memory, and undefined behavior sanitizer, you just instrument each of the sanitizers in each of the variants. So which the whole system gives you the feeling that you have all the sanitizers instrumented. So the other thing is like what the properties of each variant should have. So the most important thing about N-version system is that all the variants should execute it at roughly the same speed. Otherwise, if you have to wait for a long time for one variant to finish. So to do that, we have to place the instrumentation carefully into each variant and to quantify how much slowdown and instrumentation causes, we do cost profiling. So this is exactly the thing what we are going to do. So we are going to do the instrumentation at the function level, and per each function, the start and end, we'll add some time stamping function. And before the instrumentation and after the instrumentation, we'll calculate the time and we'll calculate the difference. And that difference is the cost of having this sanitization. And after you get the profile, you will find that you have like millions of items, say on the left. You have four functions, and each function costs you like how much of the overhead. In the actual production, you probably see thousands of functions items here. So this is only for illustration. So after that, you will try to distribute the four functions into different variants, such that in this way, we will try to have the two variants that gives you almost the same overhead. In this case, we'll have foo and bats in the first variant, and the bar and quarks in the second one, which means that in the first variant, we'll instrument foo and bats. In the second variant, we'll instrument bar and quarks. So this, by doing this, you run the two variants, they will give you approximately the same execution speed. So this is the overview of how this is done. So you get the mechanisms, you get the source file, and you do the profiling, you distribute the overhead, and you compile the variants, which you will get. So after talking about this, how we produce the variants, now we need to think about how do we synchronize them. So for example, what are the behaviors we're talking about? So the behavior for branching is like we try to define the syscalls as behavior, and not only the syscall number, but also the arguments. So how to hook it? We hook the syscalls by temporarily patching the syscall table with a loadable kernel module. And what if the sanitizer introduced different system calls? So during our project, we find that the sanitizers introduce some extra system calls, but most of these system calls are related to memory management. For example, address sanitizer or memory sanitizer, they will have their own like memory shadowing memory mechanisms. So for that, they will introduce those memory management system calls. And the other part of the differences come from before you actually enter in the main function, you will have some like data collection procedure. You will go to the proc and get the nmap status stuff. So in order to like neutralize the differences caused by the sanitizers, we only start to synchronize the program once it enters in the main function, and we do not check the system calls for memory management. So doing in the detail level, how do we do syscall synchronization? So for all the variants, we will dedicate one variant as a leader. The rest will be a followers. So and in the kernel, there are syscall synchronization slot. So the variant, whenever the leader enters the syscall, it will just dump the number and the arguments into the synchronization slot. And if the follower comes in, it will also go into the kernel and check if the syscall currently executed is the same as what the leader has executed. And once all the variants confirm that they are executing the same syscalls, the kernel will actually execute the syscall and on behalf of all the variants. And the syscall is only executed once. And the execution result is also stored in the slot. And after that, the leader or the variants, the followers can get the syscalls at their own speed. So we also do some optimization because if you have only a single slot, you will see that there are variants comes in and out frequently because say if the follower comes in first and then it will wait for the leader to come in. And if also the leader comes in first, it will wait for all the followers comes in before the syscall is executed. So there are a lot of like switching in and switching out of the processes, which is not good. So we designed this called ring buffer approach. And in this ring buffer, we have this selective lock stepping. So what is actually done is that the leader can keep dumping the syscall arguments and numbers into a ring buffer. And the kernel will execute the syscall for the leader and also store the results in the ring buffer. The followers, they can consume the ring buffer. They can consume the results from the ring buffer at their own speed. So which means that there's no need to wait for all the variants to come in. But we say that this is selective lockstep because we do strict synchronization for all those write-related system calls. And the reason we do this is that we observe that for many of this code reuse attacks, so the first step is to leak the address, which usually involves a write-related syscall. But with ASLR enabled, if you try to leak the address will be different across the variants. That therefore, if you involve this write-related syscall, either send out or write, it will be actually different because address in the data is different. So that's why we strictly synchronize the write instead of allowing it to execute. So the selective this ring buffer design actually gives you reduce the synchronization overhead from like 8% to 5%. So which will be shown in the evaluation as well. So the next major improvement is about multi-threading support. So the basic way of doing multi-threading support is like if you do a fork or create a new thread, so we will allocate a set of new ring buffers for the fork thread. So whenever is the leader in the original group, after your fork, the child will also be the leader in the new execution group. And these two ring buffers is never shared, which means that there's no like interleaving records of this execution groups. So, but this works well if there's no interleaving between the threads. So, but what if there is interleaving? So what we do is like we will try to record the total log acquisition and releases orders. For example, in this case, if the leader, if the two threads in the leader acquires and releases log in this order, for example, the red, the first thread acquired this red log, and then the red thread acquired this green log. If this order is enforced in the leader process, we will record this order and also enforce it in the all the follower processes. And this works for weak determinism, which means that if you don't have data risks or you don't have data races, it actually ensures that all the memory accesses are actually the same between the leader across all the variants. But if you have intentional data races, this will not work, and we will show this in the evaluation. And also to implement this, we hook this pthread APIs. So next, we evaluate bunching in terms of how robust it is, how secure it is, and how efficient and scalable it is. And we also show two case studies. So in terms of robustness, we tested on all on these benchmarks, three benchmarks and four programs. So only like the Parsec benchmark, which is a multi-threaded application benchmark, there are a few of them failed because we only ensure this weak determinism. So some of them have intentional data races and some of them don't follow pthread APIs. That's why we failed. The rest we can pass. So in terms of security, we evaluated on the right benchmark and also on several real-world CVEs. The takeaway is that whenever the underlying sanitizer, say address sanitizer or memory sanitizer, if the underlying sanitizer can detect this bug, if you apply this to bunching, bunching can also detect it. There's no compromise of security here. And in terms of performance, so like performance in terms of pure synchronization, which is the synchronization overhead in terms. So we run it on the 19 spec CPU 2006 programs. The average overhead is about 8.6% for strict lockstep and 5.6% for the selected lockstep. And the overhead is slightly higher for this multi-threaded benchmarks, which is Splash2x and Parsec, because of the extra work you need to record the orders of the log acquisition. And for server programs in production environment, which you frequently request megabytes of files, the overhead is really small. It's like less than 2%. So yeah, this is a highlight. You have relatively low overhead for the standard benchmark programs. You have negligible overhead for servers. So the extra cost of ensuring this weak determinism is 8%, and this selective lockstep saves you about 3% overhead. And also in terms of number of variants, so say if I want to produce a low number of variants to reduce my cost. So this is the trend it shows. So after, so if you have two variants, your overhead is about 2%, but if you increase to four variants, the average goes to 4.4%, and six, 10.5, and eight, 20.9. So first thing, it of course, if you have more variants, you have more overhead because of the cash pressure and et cetera. And so this, you have to choose a relatively good number of variants you want to see. And also the internal system load, well, bunching doesn't have to work in a, like free CPUs. So it, in 50% of load or 99% of load, the overhead doesn't increase much. So in terms of case study, so we try to reduce the overhead of address sanitizer. So if you applied it to the whole of the program, it's about more than 100% of overhead. But if you distribute the sanity checks of ASAN into two variants and synchronize them with bunching, it's about 65.6 overhead. And similarly, if you distribute this into three variants, it further reduced down to 43. Similarly, for undefined behavior sanitizer, we can still distribute the overhead to two and three. And the overhead is almost cut in half and third. So there are some like differences between the optimal values. For example, there are like 10% of overhead increase. So the reason for that is that we have the, of course, we have the synchronization overhead. There's also some inaccuracy in profiling because profile and production, there might be differences. There might be suboptimal distribution, or we have some non-distributable overhead, like you need to scan the memory for that. So the last case study we show is that we try to unify all these LVM sanitizers. So the takeaway is that with a little bit more overhead, you can unify all these sanitizers and have them work together, which traditionally you could not have. Yeah, so there are some limitations. First is that we don't have, we could have more fine-grained sanity check. For example, we distribute in a business block level instead of function level. We can try to integrate with the sanitizers, or we can try to convert this into a record replay system. So in conclusion, we show that it's kind of feasible to achieve both comprehensive protection and also high throughput with an N version system. And the result shows that we can reduce the overhead for address sanitizer by more than half, and also for address undefined behavior sanitizer. And we can seamlessly unify all these LVM sanitizers together with only more 5% slowdown. So the source code will be released on this link soon. And with that, I conclude the presentation. Thank you.
We have time for a few questions.
Hi. I'm Luis Vina from Imperial.
Mm-hmm.
How much knowledge about the sanitizers do you need to be able to split the checks between several versions?
Yeah, good question. So the question is like, how do we have to know about the sanitizers? The answer is that we don't have to know anything about this. As long as it follows this sanitization style, it's fine. We don't need to know the internal working about it. So as long as it follows this sanitization style, if you want to do some sanity checks, you follow this style. You only deviate the program control flow when there is a bug. Otherwise, you just let it go. As long as you follow this kind of style, we can work on this. We don't need to know how this is internally engineered. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
Jeff Canning, Harvey Mudd College. Mm-hmm. Maybe I missed something, but if I understood you correctly, the competing approach, if you will, is to put all of the sanitization in a single copy of the program and mm-hmm. let that program run much, much slower, like 110% slower.
Yeah.
And in this version, I split the sanitizer among multiple versions, and then I run those multiple versions on multiple cores.
Yes.
So I am given a choice of spending one core and running it 110% slower mm-hmm. and having my other cores available, or I can waste three or four cores
mm-hmm.
on this. Unless somebody is giving me free cores, this sounds like a worse situation.
Yes, I get the point. Yes, it's like a trade-off between like whether you want to have more, but like you enforce everything into same and but spend more time, and then you distribute the things into multiple cores and save time. Yes, but the more important thing we have is like we provide an option. It's like traditionally, if you want to enforce all the sanitizers, even if you want to, you can't afford the overhead. It's just like engineerially, it's very hard or even impossible to enforce them together. Now with this option, you can just distribute them into different cores. And the second thing to your answer is that, so like currently buying, like having more cores is relatively easy than like putting everything together in the same program. Like having more cores is like means you just buy more resources, but enforcing everything together, that's a much, much bigger problem.
Thank you.
Thank you.
One last question.
Hi, Anastasis from Imperial 2. Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask another thing about the sanitizers. What if there are, for instance, TSUN requires to know some information from the previous states?
Yes, exactly.
So what about this?
So yes, So if you have like the state information, like the previous checks affects the later checks, that requires something. That doesn't actually fit into this one, unless you can have more ways to partition the program into slices that don't interleave. Yes, I agree.
So in that case, your speed down will be completely overwhelmed by the slowest TSUN, right?
Yes.
Okay.